This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
John chapter 2. We will read from verse 1 to verse 11. Yeah. So, here was a situation where there was a wedding. Jesus' family apparently is involved in this because his mother is part of the, is helping out with the wedding. And Jesus goes there with his disciples. And at a wedding, they suddenly run out of wine. Now, that was very embarrassing in those days. It's like you invite people for a party at your house and you run out of food. And your guests are now hungry and they don't have anything. That's very embarrassing. When you had guests, before your guests left, you cannot run out of food and run out of drinks. But that's what happened in this case. They ran out. They were unable to feed people around them. They were unable to provide for the folks around them. And the wine they had dried up. In your life and in my life, there comes a time, like we were saying last week we talked about the rain that stopped for 3.5 years. We talked about the rain that stopped for 3.5 years. And here, this different situation, it's the wine that ran out, that dried up. And I think there's the same lesson in both. In that there comes a time, maybe in your life, I don't know what it is, there used to be life there. There used to be wine there. But it ran out. You maybe used to have a relationship with God and it's dried out. You maybe used to have a love for the Bible, for Scripture, and it's dried out. You maybe had a good relationship with your family, with your children, and whoever, and that has dried up. You maybe used to love the Lord, to love people, and that has dried out. Or you're just in a situation where you've run out of your own means. You've run out of your own provisions. You've done everything that you could in your own strength from your own resources to help out with the situation. And your own resources have run out. You've tried to help people. You've tried to provide for them. You've tried to help them, whether it be spiritually or emotionally or whatever. And now you've run out. You've completely run out of, you have nothing else to give them. Have you ever been there? I've been in place in situations like that where I felt like, God, I've helped this person as far as I could. I have nothing more to give them. There's nothing new that I can see to teach them or to give them that's going to work and give them, make a difference for them. Maybe you've been there too. And so what does Jesus' mother do? She turns to Jesus. She knew that he could do something about this situation. Now, listen, when you read things like this, we have to read them and really put ourselves in the shoe. You don't read the Bible in a hurry. How many people, when they run out of food, if you were in a party and you run out of food, what would you have done? Do you go to some random guests and you tell them, hey, they've run out of food, right? Then you're going to be like, they're going to be like, well, so what do you want me to do about that? How am I going to help? You usually don't go to a person and tell them, hey, we've run out of food. Jesus was not a farmer. He did not own a store. He did not have a supply of wine that he stored somewhere. His mother knew, though, that he could do a miracle. She knew that he could do something about it. She didn't know what he would do, but she knew that he could do something. And I want to say this to you. it doesn't matter where you are in life, and it doesn't matter what you've run out of. God, Jesus, can do something about it if you would turn to him. Jesus' mother knew that even when, you and I would turn to Jesus, let's say, I don't know, if we had sins that we were dealing with and we needed help. But this was something, it was a wedding and they ran out of wine. Even for that, Jesus' mother turned to him. She knew that he would do something about it. And I don't care what is you say, listen, if Jesus cares about wine that ran out on a wedding, how much more does he care about more important problems that you have? To me, that's not a very huge problem. Okay, you ran out of wine, so what? It was already towards the end of the party, according to what the Bible says here. And what's the big deal? But Jesus cared even about that. How much more about the situations that you and I face? And so she turned to him and she said, they have no more wine. And it wasn't even for herself. She was telling them, look, they're in a situation now where unless you step in, they're going to face some huge embarrassment. Unless you step in, there will be no help for them. And at first, Jesus' response is not a very kind one. He said, dear woman, why do you involve me? It doesn't seem to be kind. My time has not yet come. Jesus, he's basically saying, it wasn't my plan to come here today and do anything about what you're talking about. But she did not let that faze him. The Bible says, his mother said to the servant, do whatever he tells you. And see, here are two things that you and I, a lesson that you and I need to learn. There are two things. She turned to Jesus and said, listen, they have no more wine. And he is going to do something about it. But here is a condition. Do whatever he says. Do whatever he tells you. She knew that if people did exactly what Jesus will instruct in that particular situation, they will have a solution to their problem. So whatever problem that you and I have, there are two things you need to do. Number one, you need to turn to Jesus and tell him about it. You need to pray and say to God, God, listen, I've run out of this and this and that. My life is in a terrible situation. I've gotten myself into some trouble that I cannot get myself out of. Please help me. And then there's something else that you need to do. You need to do exactly what Jesus will tell you about that situation. And that takes two forms. You're like, okay, what does Jesus want me to do in my situation? Number one, there are things that he's already said in the Bible. There are things that are written there. Do not lie. Be faithful. Those are things he's already told you. Do those things. Begin with the things that you already know that Jesus wants you to do. If you stole something from someone, go give it back. If you hurt someone, go say, I'm sorry, and ask them to forgive you. Those are things that Jesus already wants you to do. Do those things and it will go well with you. Do those things and you'll begin to have the solutions to your problems. Jesus said, you know that the Bible calls us to pray, that it is important for you to read the Word of God in order for you to just survive in this evil world that we live in. Do those things. And then there are those things that Jesus tells you for your particular situation. Now, I don't know what it is that's between you and God. There are certain things that God has told you. Go do those things, and that will be the beginning of deliverance for you. Remember the things that God has told you in the past. Remember the things that he told you in the past, and God will, and it will be the beginning of God's deliverance for you. The truth is that we do the opposite. We turn to men. We talk to everybody else about our problems, but not to Jesus. We run out of wine, and we start talking to other people. Hey, can you help? But we don't turn to Christ. And then the second thing is, we don't do what God tells us to do. I know many people who have a problem, and the Bible clearly addresses their problem, says what they should do, and the folks don't do it. Then they come to me and they say, we're having this problem over here. Can you help us? And I'm like, well, what you should do in this situation is pretty obvious. what you need to do in this situation is pretty obvious. Just go ahead and do that. But, well, no, we don't really want to do this. Well, I was like, then why'd you come and ask me for my advice if you are not willing to do what Jesus says? But, and it's sad because I actually know if they did what God said, told them to do, they would actually be happy. And it will resolve their issue. So it is a lot of the pain, a lot of the troubles we face in life is either because we don't turn to God to tell him our problems and to get a solution, or we don't do the things that we know God wants us to do in our situation. We keep on doing the opposite. You say someone did something wrong to someone. You say, well, go and apologize. I say, well, no, I don't want to do that. So what other solution do you have? That's the only solution that Jesus gives to that problem. And so those are the kind of things that you and I need to, they're the basics of life that make a huge difference in people's day-to-day lives. And so now after the Bible said that nearby stood 6-stone water jar, the kind that were the used Jews, they hold 20 to 30 gallons. So these are huge basins, huge containers, and they were empty. And Jesus took those jars and he told them, fill them with water. And when he filled them with, then they filled them with water, they say, now draw some of it and take it to the master of the banquet. And when the master tasted it, that turned into wine. Now listen to me carefully. This is the heart of what I'm trying to communicate to you today. Out of 6 empty jars, where no one usually goes to find anything, it's not what you use to store wine. It's not the kind of container that you use to store anything of value. And for this particular party, they were obviously empty because nobody needed them. And Jesus told them, fill it with water, which costs nothing. And out of those empty jars filled with waters, Jesus turned wine out of it. He made something precious out of empty jars. Those jars represent your life and mine. Out of your life, regardless of how empty and useless you may think your life has been, if you will allow Jesus to fill it and do whatever he wants with it, God will take your life and we will make the best out of it. I'm going to say it again. Regardless of how empty or useless or invaluable you think your life has been, regardless of how dry you think it has been, if you would let Jesus fill it, fill your life completely. The Bible says that they fill them to the brim, the Bible says. If you will let Jesus fill your life and do with it whatever he wants, God will make something out of you that you never would have imagined. When they took that wine and they took it to the master of the banquet, they were like, wait, who did this? He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now. What did Jesus do? Most people put out their best thing first. Human beings put out their best thing first. God, and then the worst thing they put up, right? So, for example, when you meet someone, you're meeting up someone for the first time, they put on their best suit, they give you the best impression of them, they make themselves look like they're an angel. Then when you get to know them a little bit more, you find out, oh no, underneath that angel, there's a little bit of devil that's still in there. And you, because they hid that, they did not tell you that, right? So if people don't tell you, well, you know, I have, for folks who are single, and you're looking for someone to marry or whatever. When you first meet people, right? You go on a first date or whatever. Nobody tells you, listen, I have a terrible temper. That's one thing you got to know about me, right? They all tell you, yeah, I do this thing. All these things are great. And you walk away saying, wow, what an angel. Then after you get to know them a few and then you find out, no, they're actually... So human being put out their best first, and then the worst comes out later. God does it the opposite way. He always saves the best for last. He always does things better and better and better, from glory to glory to glory to glory. And so he does the same thing with every life that is presented to him. When you give your life to Christ, you allow Jesus to fill it completely. He will make the as years go by your life will get better and better and better. You will be like better and better and better and better wine every passing year. And so there is this passage in Proverbs that says that the light of the righteous is like the sun, and it shines brighter and brighter until the noonday, not till the evening, till noonday. Why? Because the noonday is when the sun is brightest. And it says that that's how the righteous are. Their light starts and it goes brighter and brighter and brighter until the day when Jesus takes them from this world. Their light is at their brightest. There's a 90-year-old man, 90-plus-year-old man I sometimes meet up to pray with. And I can tell you he's 90-plus-year-old, but he's got a fire for God. When we pray... the first time I met him, I heard him pray. I was like, wow. Most young people that I know don't pray like that. Most 20 years old, the Christian 20 years old, don't pray. There's a glory of God upon him. There's a light that is bright about him. There's a lady that I know in Virginia. She is, her youngest child is my age. And she's not my culture. She's Indian. I sometimes go and meet up with her when I'm in Virginia. We sit down in the living room for 3-4 hours. We talk about Jesus. And there's a glory, there's a presence of God over her. Her light has been brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. She has some things that those my age don't have, because she just walked with God longer and her light has gone brighter and brighter. It doesn't matter where you are in life. If you will let Jesus have your life, he will make something sweeter and sweeter and better out of it. And today, you and I sit here, and I don't know what you think about your life, and I don't know what you think about what has happened to you. But for me, I will tell you that I am giving my life to God in a new way and asking God, God, do with it something more than anything I could imagine. Take it and do with it more than anything you've ever done in the past. You do something with it that more than I make it sweeter, make my light brighter. Let there be more power through my life than I've ever experienced in the past before. God has never done, everything that he does is better than the previous thing that he does. And it is the same for you. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. There's something God wants to do with your life and something he can do with your life. If you will give it to him, let him fill it and use it to do whatever he wants with it. God will meet you and God will make your life useful. You see, what a blessing. Imagine if you were one of those water jars after Jesus used you to make wine, which he took to the master of the banquet. And in my own opinion, that master of the banquet represents God himself. Can you believe that God, Jesus, would take your life, make something so good out of it, that one day presents it to God the Father? And God the Father said, this is the best wine that could ever come out of creation. You've turned, and that's what Jesus does with us. He takes our lives, transforms it, so you can present it to God at the end, and God the Father is pleased with the transformation that has taken place in us. And I want you to lay hold of that. I want you today to go to God and to say to God, God, thank you that you can do something with me. Thank you that you can do something with my life. Thank you that you can step in into any of my situation and give an answer. I don't know what binds you, what problems you have, what things have been keeping you captive. But if you will turn to God, Jesus has an answer. Now, one last thing I would say is that when you begin to pray, when you begin to seek God for anything, it's hardly that you go, and I shared that last week also. What happened when Elisha prayed the first time? What was those who are here? What happened when he prayed the first time?
Seven times.
Yeah, the first time he prayed, nothing happened. The servant went, looked. He said, yeah, the sky is looking like it's been looking for the past 3.5 years. There's no cloud. Elijah says, okay, I pray again. Say, go and take a look. He said, well, I want to take a look. The sky's still looking like it's been looking for the past 3.5 years. There is no rain. And then he comes back on the seventh time that something happened. There's a principle there that when you begin to seek God for some major changes in your life, it's don't expect that you pray and then tomorrow things changes. We're used in our culture to instant things, you know, instant coffee, instant, and we export it to the whole world. It's this American way of quick and get in the line, drive through, get your burger quick and drive off. It's something that in our generation, it's good for when you want fast food, but it's not good in the spiritual life. And we've sort of exported that into the whole world. When I was in Europe, the thing that kept surprising me is that I kept seeing McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks. I asked myself, can't Germans come up with something that's like with their own burger or their own... And I kept telling them, didn't the burgers originate with you guys? And it comes from the town of Hamburg, right? I think that's what that's where the origin is. Like, how come now you guys imported all the stuff from America? And then I... Oh, yeah. I went to the Dunkin' Donuts in Berlin, right? Steps from my hotel was a Dunkin' Donuts and a Starbucks. Yeah. In a Starbucks, yeah. And I... And McDonald's, and then I drove into Poland, and I went in the middle of nowhere. I decided it was to take my first stop, and I was driving, and by this exit I see a McDonald's, so I pull over there, and I see all these people, and I'm like, wait, it's good. There's something about America that whatever is done here, the whole world thinks it's cool and adopts it, but it's not good for it. Anyways, it's not good for the spiritual God. You don't get things instantly like that. You have to pray for some time. And the first time when Jesus' mother turned to him and said, "Woman, when she told him they don't have one," Jesus said, "Well, you know what? My time has not come yet." She didn't say, "All right, okay, so I'm sorry for asking. I'm just going to go away." She said, no, she brought the servant. She said, "Do whatever he says. He's going to give a solution to your problem." What I'm trying to say is that Jesus didn't just give him automatically whatever she asked. There was a struggle there. She had to push for it. And God does it like that. You changes, especially... anything that's of real value just never comes like that. You have to pray and stick to it and say, "God, I know you have a solution for what I'm for my problem, for my life, for my bondage, for my sin, my addiction, or whatever. Lord, you have an answer. You're going to give me that answer. I will not leave you alone until you give me that answer." And if you will stick to it, God will bring you that answer and he will do something with your life that you never thought possible before. And I want you and I today to do that, to tell Jesus, "Listen, my life is as empty as an empty jar. My life has been as dry as a land that's not been rained upon for 3.5 years. But I want you to take it and do something with it." And let me tell you, I guarantee you, God will answer you. You give your life to God like that. Say, "God, here it is. If you can use it, use it." God will do something for you. He will do something with your life that you never thought he would do. But the thing is, you got to turn to him, and then you have to be willing to do whatever he tells you to do. When he commands you something in the Word of God, do it. When he tells you something specific for yourself, obey him. Amen.